America Weekend.
Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalenge. A couple of weeks back, we had Richard Bey on the show. And that day we talked about the debut of Stephen Colbert on CBS with The Late Show and about Richard's show back in the 90s. Well, we also talked about the presidential race, Donald Trump, all that goes with that, and the outlook for 2016. So I thought it was a good idea to bring you that as well. So once again, Richard Bey, and we'll talk presidential politics. Why don't we start with the man who seems to control the 24/7 news cycle right now, Donald Trump. Richard, why does this guy still have such a strong lead in the polls? And really a sub-question, why hasn't his less than conservative past caught up with him with the Republican base, the people that seem to love him so much?
Well, he's larger than life. He is projects a strong image compared to the rest of the field. You know, we kept hearing about how the Republicans were enthusiastic because they had such a deep bench of talent.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it turns out that deep bench these are not heavy hitters. They're sitting on the bench,
right?
Most of them, you know. And for Trump to step in and be assertive, he's already got a national image. And you know, I've met Trump a couple of times, and off the stage and off the camera, he's a very different kind of a person. It's sort of like Howard Stern. When Howard Stern gets behind a microphone, you know, it's this large personality with opinions about everything, unafraid to say anything that pops into his brain. But when he's off the microphone, and the same with Trump to some degree, there's almost a shyness about them, you know,
really?
A reticence about them. That's what I'm not best friends with Donald Trump, but that was my impression. And I put out my hand to shake his hand, and of course he's germophobic.
Is he?
Wow. He pulls like a Howie Mandel. He doesn't want to shake your hand, or, I mean, how bad does it get?
He doesn't want to shake hands.
Wow.
And guess who introduced him to me? At least one of the times
who?
Was Al Sharpton. I was at the Donald Trump roast for the Friars.
No kidding.
And Al Sharpton was the one that introduced, because I knew Al Sharpton from the old TV show.
Yeah. You know, the Friars Club always seemed like a pretty interesting place. It's all these different personalities with all these wayward ideas and everything else, but it blends together, and it's that must be quite a place to hang out at.
I think I've been there many times,
yeah.
But I think I have to correct myself. I think the roasts now are taken over by somebody outside of the Friars.
Oh.
I may be incorrect, but there are different kinds of roasts. And I've been to Friars roasts. I was at the Friars roast, actually, the first time they admitted women.
And when was that?
And it must have been in the 90s.
But still, it took until the 90s? Wow.
Yeah, I remember Milton Berle getting up and telling the dirtiest jokes about female anatomy. Almost every comedian went up there to sort of say, "All right, the women are here. Then we're gonna shovel it out, and you're gonna have to take it." And they told the most sexist. They were funny as hell. I mean, I remember Milton Berle specifically telling a joke about a part of the of a woman's anatomy and a taco.
Oh,
I can figure that out.
Okay. Huh.
Wow.
Use your imagination.
That'll put your chalupa in order right there, will it not? Wow.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, but that wasn't the first time a woman was at the Friars Roast, because before that, Phyllis Diller had dressed up like a man and actually sat in the audience incommunicado.
Wow.
All right, I gotta ask this to the both of you. So with the whole Donald Trump thing,
right.
You know how this country right now is very much into reality TV train wreck situations,
sure.
Okay? And, okay, like you say, Donald Trump is one way on air, one way off air, but on air is what America is seeing. Do you think that has something to do with the fact that he's a celebrity and people just want to see something crazy going on, even though it's with something as important as the president of the United States? Or do you think that, let's say, by some chance, he gets elected in, is he actually going to have what it takes to run America?
I really think the book is still out on that in a lot of respects. I think he has to educate himself on a lot of different levels.
Is there substance there? Like, is there any substance behind it?
Was there substance behind George Bush?
Exactly.
Well, that you have a point there.
We have had career politicians that have not had much substance.
That's
true. But in this case, this is the first time on a presidential level we have had a situation of where celebrity has surpassed substance, and it doesn't really seem to matter. And Richard, is that because we're still more than a year away from the general election, and it's still kind of we're playing with playtime here? And one thing, too. Did Reince Priebus of the Republican National Committee decide he needed Trump to sign that pledge of honor that he's not going to go and have a third party campaign? Are they scared that they have created the next Ross Perot that's going to siphon off Republican votes and pretty much hand this to Hillary? Is that why they're really upset at this point?
Well, I'm sure that's an element of it, but I think that what Priebus did was more to Trump's advantage, you know, and specifically, Trump now has a pledge that will be signed by all the other candidates. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine if and when, and it is a possibility, Trump wins the nomination, that he's going to be up on a stage holding hands with Jeb Bush, with Rand Paul, and all these other candidates who have pledged to support him? They're going to be going out giving Trump the credibility that he needs, as a candidate,
right?
Because he'll have all these other people who have a political cred as senators or governors standing on the stage with him, campaigning for him, telling people why he is the best choice for president. So if anything, I think it was a deal. And, Trump talks about his masterful talents for in negotiating deals. I think it was a deal that benefited Trump much more than it benefited Priebus.
It gave him the legitimacy for the campaign because he was looked upon as this lunatic outsider that decides to have this giant announcement in the lobby of his own office building. And then all of a sudden now they look at him as, yes, he is our standard bearer. He is the front runner. He is the person we're putting all of the conservative ideals behind because they realize the guy has traction no matter what you think of it. And even though we are a year out, I mean, the guy still has to be taken quite seriously.
I think this is a I see it as the culmination of a longer process. The so-called evidence presented to the American people for the Iraq War was not substantive, and it was knowable at the time. I was on the radio at the time, and every time they came up with something, and of course Dick Cheney came out with some of the most outrageous things. He said that Saddam Hussein had an atom bomb already, that Saddam Hussein was in league with al-Qaeda, and that Mohammed Atta had gone to Prague for a meeting with Iraqi intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
Bush said Hussein was 6 months away from a nuclear bomb and that the IAEA report showed that. There was no IAEA report that showed that. I mean, there were so many things there that were not substantive, and the media just, digested it and regurgitated it. The same thing sort of happened with Kerry, with the Swift boat, people. It took a long, long time for Ted Koppel to get over to Vietnam and talk to some of the native Vietnamese who were actually there, who backed up Kerry's claim about what happened during that battle. And by that time, the damage had been done to Kerry. We had the birth certificate. People tend to forget that Donald Trump was one of the greatest proponents of the idiocy, that Barack Obama was born in Kenya, had a phony birth certificate, and was not qualified to be president of the United States.
And you don't hear anybody talking about that. That's amazing, because he was the number one birther. He was the main birther. And you would think that if you were a candidate on that stage with him, you would want to bring that up, but you can't. You know why? Because the base of that party inherently believes that as well to its core. So you can't go there. And it would be the one thing
Right. We're running around trying to find esoteric societal reasons for Trump's popularity.
Mm-hmm.
And I tend to think it's more simple than that. People there is a percentage of the American population, and there's a laziness on the behalf of our so-called mainstream media to really care about facts.
Yeah,
it's really about generalization, emotionalism, fear, and sloganeering. Those are the things that have become most important. And I don't know how far back that sort of American process goes, because I mean, you can certainly look back on other periods in American history where those sorts of political machinations were prevalent, but they certainly seem, since 2000, since we've gone into the new millennium, they seem to be the most important thing. Facts don't matter. Good slogan matters.
And there you have it, Richard Bayh's take on the 2016 race. Quite interesting indeed. This is America Weekend, and I'm Ed Kalenge.
America Weekend.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-289-1668. That's 800-289-1668. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-289-1668.